welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where information is exchanged with the expectation that it is to be applied. I am your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com, as well as co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Now let's dive into a discussion that can help you help yourself. Again, this is the Family Alpha Podcast. Now let's get to work. Welcome to another Morning Brew with Hunter Drew. We're going to dive right into this one because I don't think we'll have enough time to cover every aspect of the subject matter needing to be discussed. Today, I am joined by Nick Lowry, my favorite drug dealer. How you doing, Nick?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Doing well. I'm also joined by Ed Lattimore, the man who cracked the Twitter code with crack jokes. Welcome, Ed.
Hey, what's going on, people? Thanks for having me.
It took me a little bit to think about that intro. I thought it was really good to tie together, but the response, it wasn't as I expected it. So we're just going to move on from that. You know? I think that was an underappreciated joke.
You did good.
All right. Today, we're going to be talking about porn use and how it is detrimental to the development of men. Now, it's a somewhat taboo subject. People don't like to talk about porn because it's kind of like, what are you doing? You know, you're sitting there watching these people fornicate. You're sitting there touching yourself to get pleasure, watching somebody else actually have sex. And look, I don't want to talk about that. And what I realized, and I'm really glad you gentlemen brought it up as well. You know, individually, we've all written different posts on this subject about how, like, look, you gotta get off this loop that you're on. You know, it's really numbing you. So that there's some synchronicity there that I thought was pretty cool in the overlap of our stories. But men will defend this like nothing else.
Like, it's crazy, actually. If you want to see kind of how we decide that what we do is okay because we're okay, right? And, you know, we were talking to Jack Murphy, and one of the things that I took from that combo was kind of a point I made is that to something he said back, there was a lot of good back and forth. One of the things that we have to remember when we talk about porn addiction is that the same things that can apply to a porn addiction, have you ever seen a doctor or a lawyer who's on substances? You wouldn't know unless you knew if they're functioning. And that's kind of the idea. When you function and you have your life together, you look at this thing you're doing and you go, wow, okay. Well, yeah, it might not be the best for me, even if you even come to that conclusion, but you realize that everything else is going on. And one of the hallmarks of addiction, right, is that, oh, you know, your life is falling apart. But I think that's only one sign of it. Certainly a compulsory use is another one.
No, I completely agree. And I thought I was going to be banned the first time I put my anti-porn message out there because dudes lost their mind.
Who are you
to tell me and all these things? And it was like, whoa, if it's that sensitive of a subject to discuss, we 100% have to discuss it. You know, now we need to talk about it because you don't really defend something unless you feel strongly to it.
Yeah. Right. You know, I can make a tons of, you know what that reminds me of? You know, like you were saying at the beginning, you know, my crack jokes and all that. I can make thousands, I mean, like hundreds, we'll keep it realistic, hundreds of jokes about crack. Let me make one or two statements degrading our marijuana use, and the hordes come out of nowhere, and I'm like,
the pitchforks already.
Like, you guys got to understand something. Mm-hmm. No matter whether I'm right or wrong, your response is disproportional. It's asymmetrical. Clearly, you have been triggered, and that triggering in and of itself tells us that you have a negative relationship with the thing. Where, you know, casual smokers, they're not flipping out, right? I've had guys go, I smoke every day. I'm like, come on, man. Like think about the things you do every day. Like, you eat, you watch. You sleep, or, you know, if you do a thing every day, you are a point, even enjoyment. Like, I don't watch movies every day. I mean, I'm thinking about this. There are very few things you do every day. But when we talk about, like, the weed on one, and a lot of guys watch porn even once a day, and they don't think there's something up with that. And one of the things that we talked about in that kind of back and forth with Jack is that it's not so much like I'm gonna make a bold statement here. Maybe bold. I don't know. I don't think prior to high speed internet that there was even a such thing as porn addiction. At the very least, there wasn't. If you were addicted, it was obvious. I mean, you were probably the guy in the trench coat with the big ass glass and a funny hat.
Stacks of Playboys.
Yeah, stacks of Playboys. You know, you were on a first name basis with the people at the video store. Everything like you were sitting in the theater. Remember the old theaters where you had to go to watch that shit around other people. You know, it was a different world because it was harder to get it. The big issue today is that it's so easy. It's free. It's fast. It's got a lot of variety. One site gets shut down, a million pop back up, and I think that's the bigger issue is that. You know, in the old days, if you know you wanted to rub one out, okay, right, you go get a magazine, and that was a magazine. It didn't have sounds and shit like that. And you were kind of stuck with what was in a magazine, not literally millions of other clips you could pick from all in an instant. And that's a big issue, and guys don't realize how bad that is. We haven't even touched what it does to you. We're just talking about what it is.
And that's the intro to this. You know, that's kind of what I wanted to lay the ground floor on, because Nick, you were arguing with somebody on about, he's like, well, you're saying that masturbation is the devil, and you're like, I'm not talking about like none of this. And in my post I clearly say self-gratification. You know, if you've got to get it, like, guys are deployed, you got to get it, like, something's got to happen. You know, you got to release that
tension. Yeah, stop it, man.
we're talking about watching porn like daily.
Well, and that goes back
to the porn, not the act itself, but the porn that's evolved and needed.
And that goes to what Ed was saying. It's like, I never once said, don't jerk off. Like, I never said, don't do that. And when I would say, like, don't watch porn, and people are like, oh man, I shouldn't jerk off. I'm like, that's not what I fucking said.
No, right?
That's exactly what, I'm like, shut the fuck up. What's wrong with you? But like, that's exactly what Ed was saying, right? Where like, you say something and then the way people defend it tells so much about how they feel about it. It's like, go rub one out. Fine. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. Like, do that. But like, it's just the porn, man. It's just it. Like, there was that one dude, Jack's friend, I forget his name, that we were talking to. And he was talking about how, and this was an interesting perspective, talking about how porn use itself isn't bad. It's the guilt associated with it. And that's like the only argument I've ever heard that makes it sound okay. But I would say, like, man, if you're watching porn every day, there's no way you're trying as hard as you are. Like, there's no way you're trying as hard as you would be to get laid, whether that be in a relationship or
absolutely
single. Like, and like, that's, you're numbing stuff. You're numbing it, right?
Well, think about the message. Oh, I got to rub one out before this date, so I'm not horny or something. You're like, that's you're like putting a governor on your motor. Like, you want that. You do want to have that side of you. God, you know, and like, I want to bring something up too that Ed had mentioned. You said, you know, before high speed porn, you were that guy who went into the video store. So that a man going in, this is hitting young men. This is hitting like boys now. You know, that was the angle I took.
I was 13.
Dude, but so before the internet, you had to be like 18 or plus, and you were that dude in the trench coat. How many 12 right. year olds, how many 13 year olds are walking around with the trench coat, you know, back in the day? No, it was the creepy man. Now, and it's even if, young boys.
And even if you were, even if you had those balls, I mean, right, there were very real limitations. I mean, they took ID, you had to go to these places alone. I mean, I'm thinking about where the stores run. I live in Pittsburgh, which I guess is good enough, or lived in Pittsburgh. I guess it is a good enough kind of a cross section to get this data because it's not too big, not too small. But, these places weren't in like the mall next to Chuck E. Cheese and nothing like that. Like, you had to go to a specific location. There were zoning ordinances up to where these places couldn't even exist within a certain radius of a school, for example. In other words, right, like you were saying about the younger generation getting into this, it was effectively, I won't say impossible, because we all found the tapes. I mean, how old are you, Nick?
24.
Okay, right. So I'm 34. I think Hunter's 32, 33, somewhere in that range.
Well done.
we all found the tapes, right? Some, one way or the other, right? But you didn't really find those tapes unless you had a friend whose parents were into that shit and had it like stashed away somewhere, and you didn't have the means. It was hard. Now everyone's got a phone. Everyone's got the internet at home. You know, the internet was still a relative rarity, not a rarity, I guess, but it wasn't as ubiquitous as it is today. Like, everyone can has access to a thing that we didn't have before. And before we get to how, you know, this thing hijacks your brain in general, this is something that no one likes to discuss, is that you can put all the safeguards up you want, but a motivated, intelligent kid, it's just not that difficult to get around it anymore. You know, because if you got a kid who's in middle school, kids in middle school got cell phones. Now, I've seen it. You know, I was doing a lot of tutoring, so I've seen every all these kids have some electronic device capable of connecting to the internet and ways to get around that security if they need to. That's the issue, right? That's one of the bigger issues that leads to the addiction. It's not so much the guilt, man. It is quite literally the way your brain interacts with an addictive substance. And I thought that was an interesting argument to bring the guilt up, but I'm gonna just go on record and say I'm not buying that. I'll defend myself later, but I'll just, you know, say I'm not buying that the guilt is what causes the addiction. Certainly, you know, but I argument freaking, you know, people get addicted to coke and that's the shame, right? They're ashamed of doing no. People get addicted to drugs because they make a change and a psychological and a physiological dependence, I would argue too. But yeah, that's just my two cents on that.
Yeah, Nick, I agree.
I want to hear your angle, but I want to share with everybody. I'm trying to get the guy's name is David. So it's Jack Murphy and David. I'd love to have them on in a future episode, you know, somewhere down the line, and have this discussion, you know, the counterpoint to it, to see like, all right, let's have these ideas, you know, box in the ring and figure it out.
Oh yeah. You know, I'm all for it because at the very least, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I'm certainly I always entertain the idea that my perspective is limited or incorrect, and if data to the contrary exist, but and more importantly, experiences to the contrary exist. Sure, you know, but I'm right now saying that one, I don't buy the guilt is the only problem with pornography use today. You know, when we introduce technology, certainly the technology we have now, we've opened up a can of worms on something that wasn't quite meant for this level of consumption and ease of access to.
Nick, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it really comes down to like how early you can get into it. And like you said, like when you're talking about alcoholics or drug users or anything like that, like the most profound or the most, what's the word? Deep rooted alcohol addictions start when kids are in their teens. It's your formative years, right? And so back in the day, when you had to get a Playboy subscription or you had to go to the vid store or whatever the hell you had to do, it was harder. And so like young teenagers were a little bit less inclined to be able to do that. They either had to go get it themselves or find somebody, basically, hey, Mr. Somebody to get it for them, or find their dad's stash, right? And because it was harder, that made it a little bit less prevalent. And so now it's the fact that like, man, half the kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old, like you have an older brother, you have an older friend who makes jokes about it, and you start wondering what it is. I mean, that's how I like fell into it when I was 13. It was like, I had an older friend who cracked a couple jokes about it. And I was like, well, what the fuck is this? And so I went and Googled it. And I think it was just like tits. And like,
Google search, the search, yeah. Safe search off. And you know, there you go.
I remember my heart just pounding out of my chest because it was like the first time I'd ever seen tits before. And I was like, that's not how it should be. Like the first time you see a naked woman should not be online. That sucks. It took the fun out of it.
Well, not only did it take the fun out of it, I'm really happy that somehow, some way that we had that fun little discussion a few days ago, because it put a lot of fresh ideas, or rather brought a lot of ideas to the forefront that are easier to assess now for this conversation. But one of the things that I talked about is that, okay, well, we're going to say that it's not an addiction. We got to look at another thing, is and how it affects a guy's ability to form a connection with a woman in real life. And there's no way around it. Anyone who's ever been out there in the game, out there picking up women, cutting their teeth, I think Hunter, you've been married too long.
Forever.
And Nick is maybe a little too young to really know what it's like to be out there and grinding for years, learning. But here's one thing I'll say that will rob your initiative. You know, I got a buddy like this now, or like that. He goes, man, I hate the game. I'm like, and rather just watch porn all the time, because there's a lot of rejection. Your ego gets dragged. It is not easy to learn how to talk to the opposite sex, especially when you don't have any role models to have taught you that. And now everything is flooded. That's how the pickup industry gets started. I mean, let's be realistic. Selling the idea that you can be anybody, just go talk to a girl, which is still hard in of itself, just talk. And then a lot of these guys, you don't have any guidance to go, and then any grit developed by doing something hard to go, okay, let me go learn how to meet a girl. So, dude, I mean, you go out, you strike out a few times, and you're like, you know, forget it. Let me just watch some porn instead. And that becomes, you, like you said, you're telling me you're not going to try as hard. And after the time, it just gets easier and easier. And before you know it, you're like in your mid-20s, and you don't even bother. Why bother? Yeah. You mean, are you bother once and give up? Or God, you know, somehow, some way you get lucky and manage to get a girl. This is when I knew I had an issue, right? You managed to get lucky and get a girl. But then you didn't know or didn't think anything was going to happen, and you just rubbed it out like six times that day, right? And so now you got nothing in the tank. And now she doesn't want anything to do with you because I mean, let's be real here. A girl's gonna like, what is wrong with this dude? I'm sitting here, I'm naked, either he doesn't like me, or there's something wrong with him. I'm gonna just leave this one alone and go on to the next. And then that reinforces the whole thing. She's like, oh, I'll just go watch more porn. She doesn't want anything to do with me. So look, this is because of how easy it is to get and how fulfilling too. Man, look, I'm telling you, this high speed stuff, it ain't like, look, nothing is ever going to take the place of a flesh and blood human. But in terms of the variety, and we got a lot of research out there about how mammals, at least, or the animals in general, respond to variety in partners, you'll pretty much fuck yourself to death if they just keep bringing in a new partner, because that's more important to you than food and water. They call it the Coolidge effect. After when President Coolidge observed these roosters just going at it for days, and they explain how it could happen. Oh, we just bring a new hen in. And he's like, oh, forget food, forget everything else. Just got a new hen, right? Your brain can't tell the difference.
He's like, I'm trying to fuck.
Yeah. And so it goes, okay, great. Another clip, another clip, another clip. And you can just find new clips. And you never have to go put yourself on the line. And think about all this, right? I know this is kind of long when I'll break after this. But think about this.
Welcome to the Morning Brew with Ed.
Think about this. When you're trying to succeed with the opposite sex, there's quite a lot of things that have to go into it. You got to get your physical appearance right. You got to work on your mouthpiece, the way you talk. You got to get a feel for when it's appropriate to push and when you should pull back. You have to go and be social so you don't like a weirdo. You probably got to have enough money to at least not live with your mom, these kind of things, right? So there's a whole realm of self-development that goes into this. All centered around trying to get laid. Reminds me of a joke. Someone said, without tits, Alexander the Great would have been Alexander the fuck it all, right? When you put in the porn, when you get hooked, when you go, okay, I got all of this, why would you work on any of that? And it is telling. If you look, like you said, I mean, look, not every guy that gets hooked in this stuff turns into a loser. if I was going to bet on the over under, I'm gonna take, you know, on the over that more of them are than not, though. All right, there I go. Yeah. Take a break.
Man, there are so many avenues to take this. So I'm gonna hit one that the main ones that have been popping up, you know, in my experience through this. So the reason I wrote my piece on porn and being anti-porn was due to the amount of men who have been hitting me up in their marriage and that's just struggling. You know, they have the dead bedroom, you know, they're not having a good relationship with their wife anymore. And it's always like, hey man, are you watching porn? Yeah. All right, man, stop that. like let's start there. Like, let's just start there. That's the first step you can take. Let the porn go. And in my program, 31 DTM, the biggest reason men fail for those 31 days, it's not the push-ups and it's not the challenges. It's the fucking porn. Dude. You know, because in it, I'm like, hey, 31 DTM, no porn. And they're like, why? What does that matter about self-development, all these things? I'm like, look. And the results speak for themselves. All of these men, every man who got rid of the porn got so freaking horny, they would like, I need to get it however I can. They started feeling that like drive again, I call it the fuel of masculinity. They're like, all right, I'm on. Like, you know, you're starting to feel like a primal animal. You're like, I want to have sex. I don't care if it's a 2, a 10, like I'm going to go out. Well, guess what? When you get over that hurdle, I mean, it's hump day today. When you get over that little hump, you can now find your way. Like, all right, I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to have a good time. Porn?
I would add to that, even once you get the girl in your bed, I was just talking about this to someone last night, like talking about this show and everything. And I was explaining, like, when you put porn in the picture, it takes the color out of everything in ways you would never expect. It's like, even things not necessarily related to sex, it's just, you just take the color out. You feel it a little bit less. And I never would have expected that until I quit. And it didn't even come back immediately. It came back over the course of like the next year, where it was like, just events, like emotional events, right? Like summoning a mountain or doing something really hard that's not even related to sex. Like, you just feel it more. There's just more there. And then sex itself is way better. It's like when there's a girl in your bed and you've been watching porn all the time, and it kind of goes back to your point where it's like, even if you can get it up, right? Like, because maybe you didn't beat off like 6 times that day. But like, even if you can, it's
only
like,
4 that day.
Only 4 that day. But like, even if you can, it's like I want to fuck this girl. But like, you take porn out of the picture, it's like, I want to put this girl through the fucking mattress. It becomes more, like there's just more of everything.
Well, I think it desensitizes to a degree as well. You know, you're looking at your woman and you're like, she doesn't have the perfectly round, or she doesn't do this position, or she doesn't have her hair. Like, you know, when you get rid of the standard of porn, you no longer condition yourself to look at the flawless body in the flawless position. It doesn't, there's no smell. There's no liquids, you know, your brain, you're having sex. You're like, all right, now let's do doggy, or now let's do missionary. Now let's do deep throating. Now let's do this weird shit. And you've got to do these things every 2 minutes because that's what porn is. It's like, all right, here's this scene. Oh, no,
and you're cycling.
And your brain's like, I don't know how to have sex.
I remember scrolling through Pornhub and never even settling on a video, and I'd be finished. Right. Like, oh.
Well, I have that note down, how much time is lost to it as well. You're like, hold on, I got to get the right clip. No, not that one. I've already seen that one 40 times. No, what's that one? Yeah. You know, these guys are, like, they're telling me, they'll sit and they have to go to, like, this weird extreme thing. And it all started with, you know, watching fuzzy TV when they were a kid and seeing like the tits or the sex on HBO. And that's where it started. And now they're watching like Bukkake videos where it's like 50 dudes, one chick. And you're like, what?
Can I pause for a minute? I don't even know if Nick gets that reference.
The not fuzzy really.
Video. Oh reference. My God. That was the thing. That's the first time I saw anything. It was the screen, you know? You're like, oh, there's either a foot or a nipple.
So back in the day, right? If you didn't have the channel with cable, it came through as this kind of fuzz because it was scrambled.
At like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, like the old Skinamax, the Cinemax where they showed the TVMA, I think maybe.
Maybe like softcore porn, like they'd be fucking, but like there's a plant in the way or something.
And there was a story and shit. And all kinds of stuff. But I was like, wait a second, I don't know because that there's no reason for you to even see that today.
That was like early teenage years. Because I've seen it before. And that was more just like, I'd be up with a buddy watching TV and we'd scroll through and see Cinemax and it'd be like some crazy title and it'd be like, hey, we'd watch it. But like, that was kind of the extent of it.
Wow, man.
You know what's weird? No, go ahead, Ed.
I don't remember what I was about to say. It was a point you came up with, so you just keep going. It'll come back to me.
So when I'm talking about it conditioning you to not seeing the beauty in your woman or not wanting to go after your woman because, look, you're numb. And you're numb to watching this 4% body fat, triple right. D's, thin waist, you know, you don't, you're like, nah, why would I want my wife? After we put out the discussion that we had in that the healthy debate with Dave and Jack.
Yeah.
I received, I think it was like 8 DMs from wives messaging me about their husband's addiction. And I don't normally get females, you know, hitting me in the DMs. So I was like, whoa, but they're like, please help. Like these women are, they know their men are addicted and they're like, what can I do? Like, I'm not good enough and he just won't stop. And I'm like, man, that sucks.
And you know what's crazy? This is what I was going to say. I don't remember how I got into this, but it just is what it is, right? There were these documentaries, man, on Nat Geo following these porn stars around and everything who are addicted to drugs and stuff, which a lot of them are. And one thing that stood out to me above all of the other fuckery in this is that none of these girls are attractive. I mean, they're young and that brings them a certain amount of points, you know, being 20, 21, right? And not fat. But in terms of like the fantasy that's sold, you gotta remember it's a product and there's makeup and there's lighting. And a lot of them, when they save that money up, their surgery, all of it. In other words, real women don't really look that. At the very least, that 95%, even more, are going to have access to on the regular, right? So what you're falling into when you see this is not a representation of reality. It's an augmented reality, and it's very much what drugs do. No one's ever as happy are satiated, you know, when they do these drugs, right, or experience that amount of pleasure. But it's so intense, your brain is like, yo, I got to go after that because we've evolved to seek these experiences. And that's how you get hooked and that's how you get stuck on. As far as the desire for your wife and everything, you know, or your girl, there's two parts to that, I think. One, once you make the commitment, you go, okay, porn is out the picture. Then you look at other things. Okay, maybe your wife is not, she let herself go. Now you got to be a man and be like, yo, I'm going to need you to get in the gym. And I'm going to need you to do X, Y, Z, and let's work on this, that, and the other. You're going to have to have some very difficult conversations. But they're going to be for the betterment of your relationship. Because it's one, if you got a solid girl and the only issue is, you know, you didn't let yourself get addicted to porn. And you even walk down that path because of she let herself go. That's a stupid reason. That's fixable and that's avoidable and fixable, right? So you can leave that behind. And the other thing is, right, I mean, a lot of that stuff is done to appeal in terms of the acts. Like, oh, you know, all these crazy stances and angles and moves and all that. Yeah, right? I mean, if you find one in real life that does that, you probably... should, you know, I'm not saying all freaks is dirty, but I'm saying a lot of dirty chicks is freaks, man. That's just how it goes. But the point of me bringing that up is that reality, you're right, like you said, you don't throw through the mattress because now reality is your escape, as opposed to something that's so crazy and so ridiculous. You look at this and go, well, I don't want you. I got these videos, right? Or I don't want you as much because I know the videos are great. It changes your whole relationship with the opposite sex or whatever it is you're into, right? The opposite sex, it changes your whole relationship when you start watching artificial depictions designed to sell you.
One of the angles I took also that really pissed people off, I was like, you understand, you know, you're sitting in your room, grabbing your unit in your hand, and you're watching other people have sex.
Dude, that's creepy. That's really fucking creepy.
When you're really in the corner, dial it back objectively, you're the dude in the corner, you know, like, and you're just like, oh, they're having some fun. Look at those. Yeah, that feels good to me.
Like, it's weird. Fuck, that was actually the moment that, like, started getting me out of the whole thing. Like I was jerking off. I was halfway through and I just had this moment of clarity where I was like, I'm a fucking creepy dude in the corner watching some dude get laid and just beating it. And I'm like, that's got to stop right fucking now. And I just turned it off and just like sat in my room for a minute. And I was like, God damn it.
And even if you don't want to take it to that level and go, okay, I'm that creepy dude in the corner, right? Ooh, right? I mean, because I'll admit that in terms of a logical extension, that's a bit of a stretch. Not a big one, but for a lot of guys, it's a stretch, and they can argue back. But here's another angle to take with that same idea if that's not the way you want to go. Here's another way to go. Why not go find one, right? Because here's the thing, like all that self-development that comes, you get the payoff, you get the outcome, you get a short nut of pleasure, right? And then you go back to your loser existence where none of these people exist, when you can go make yourself the person and put together the life to where if you really want that game, if you really want to be bought that life, you can go find a girl that'll do that, or mini or whatever. It robs, like you said, man, that fire of masculinity that Hunter talked about, it robs you of it completely, because the main thing, what are the two main motivations for men? To survive and to reproduce. If you look, man, you ain't gonna be out there fighting, so you got to take all that energy and you got to go do something else. While you're building things, you're building things, you're conquering, so you have better chances to reproduce. And even if you don't want 50 kids, even if you don't want any kids, you want pretty women. And so you have to go build things. If your brain gets the payoff that comes from having having access to a lot of genetic material, if your brain gets that payoff, then why do it? Like you said, the joke said that I saw, Alexander the Great turns into Alexander the Fucking.
I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm immediately thinking of that guy who's like, there's no, it's hard. It's hard to go out and be that guy, you know, to go to the gym. Yeah. It's harder to sit in your room. So the guy's like, well, A, it's hard, and B, the only time they don't feel stress or they don't feel like a failure is in those few moments, those few seconds where their mind is clear. You're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like the release, you know, and they're back to their shitty life and they want to feel it again. And I think of it the way I think of alcohol, and I've shared, you know, my issues, and congrats, you're heading towards 6 years of sobriety.
Yeah, man, it'll be December 23rd. So what is today? The 4th? So 17, 19 days, something like that. Yeah.
Awesome. That's fucking awesome. But I've shared my story.
Whatsoever.
Mine was, I called it chasing the dragon. You know, it was the next drink. I was going to feel good. I don't feel good. I need one more and I'll feel even better. And I think these guys are stuck in that loop. They're like, all right, I felt, you know, I wasn't stressed out. You know, my anxiety was gone. My feeling like a failure. I felt good, but now I got to feel good again. I got to chase the dragon. Mm-hmm. So I got to jerk off again, you know, but this video is not doing for me. I need to go to the next video. And that video is going to make me feel better, you know, and you're sitting there and you're looking up like the most crazy shit, you know, and you're like, as soon as it does, you're like, all right, I'm back to my real life. But in that moment, I was the king and I was okay and life was good. And I'm like, man, like this is, you're in such a bad loop and such a bad headspace that, you know, right now we think it's bad. You know, Ed, a little bit earlier, you talked about this virtual world. When virtual reality becomes a thing, these men are going to die with those headsets on their face. And that just scares the shit out of me. And that's why I really wanted to have this conversation, do this earlier rather than later, because we're heading in that direction. You know, they've already got, you know, the sets. And I promise you, the number one thing will be porn use with virtual reality.
Not only do they have the headsets, man, I don't remember how this came across my, my awareness, because it wasn't Twitter. I feel like someone put it up on Facebook, which I thought was hilarious, because Facebook doesn't usually have that kind of, at least my circle. Anyhow, it was a thing called the Blowhard. And it was the Blowhard 2.0 or version 2 or something to that effect. And it was this mechanical, because I don't know if you know about the Fifi. First of all, let's go into a little history of these things, right? The Fifi started out, some guy in Cali told me about it. It was what prisoners would do during their time, they like take a towel or something and put some Vass on it and wrap it around their felt, just like pussy, right? And they called it a fifi. And every, you know, if you took a man's fifi, man, you was gonna get a beat down. Plus, why would you do that, right?
That's not something you share,
right? some genius heard about this and decided to like mass produce them. And you can order them online, fifis, like, you know, in different colors and shit, whatever. And now we're to the next level with technology. With the first, there was the blowhard that was designed to simulate a blowjob, and now we got it even better, right? So it does it even better. And now I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, between that technology that can mechanically do it plus the VR, you don't even need to take a like. It's going to be a crazy world, because the main motivation, because one of the main motivations is done. You don't need to fight to survive. You just don't. I mean, the world is too easy. I tell my mom all the time, who has some of the worst health habits in the world, I say, look, you got to understand something. Unless you've got like Huntington's disease, you're going to live to your 80, whether you want to or not. Like, technology is that good now. Medicine's that good. We don't need to survive, right? So the other thing was reproduction, and they're about to take that away completely. They've already taken like 70% of it away, right? With the ease of hookup culture and combined with the high speed porn. But this stuff coming out now, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's pretty much it. I mean, forget an actual sex doll, which is kind of creepy to begin with, just a headset and a blowhard, life is all good. And a lot of these guys, you know, that's the, what do we say? Honestly, you know, attention is like respect. Well, an orgasm is like affection. These guys want some love, but they can't get it, so they'll settle for that and check themselves out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nick.
Another thing I was going to say is, like, you go down, like, rabbit holes with your porn videos and all of that, and you kind of, even if, like, let's say you're watching lesbian porn, right, or threesome porn or whatever, right, and, like, when you watch the video, you kind of, in a weird way, at least I did, establish in the back of your head that it's a fantasy, and you don't think like, man, I could do that. Like, I could go out and find two girls, and like, I could do that, and I could have that experience. Like, you don't think that, you just, it becomes a fantasy. And so I bet that even given a long enough time frame, that even goes into just like standard one-on-one, like fucking vanilla sex, where you just start thinking, that's a fantasy too. Right? Like, I can never get that.
Dude, at 21 Con, I was talking to these two dudes, and it really stands out because when we were having that discussion with Dave and Jack, people kept linking that article that was recently released about the brain going to a more juvenile state due to porn. It rewires you to be more, you lack impulse control.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was talking to these guys, and some girl walked by, and they started having a discussion about, you know, how she looked. And like, I was just like, their brains are always thinking about sex, and they see these girls and it's, oh, what would I do to that girl? Like, at no point did it. And I'm not saying, you know, well, we're breeding rapists. Like, don't, let's not make that jump. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying they don't see women as anything but like, you know, the fuck's, I can't even think of Madison Ivy or somebody like that. They think of a porn star immediately and they're like, oh, what would I do? And what would she look like? And all these things. And it's like, that's a weird way to think about things. Like, that's, yeah, that's super odd that your impulse is that. And again, you know, there were, one of the women that reached out to me, she shared that the guy was, he's into like some weird kinks, and that's all he thought about, and that's how he acted all the time. And, you know, one of the things I tell men is like, look, you have to game your wife. You know, you have to have like some suave nature to yourself. You have to, you can't just be the teenager like saying boobs and butt, ha ha. You know, but watching porn, you're like, you think, you snap your finger, and now she's in the cheerleader outfit ready to go. And like, there's a dance you have to do to get to that point throughout the day, and they lose that entirely. I read that article, and it pretty much spoke to that.
Yeah.
Why would you develop, right?
Yeah, that's right?
Part of development, man. Like you can, for I keep thinking, and this is going to be weird, but the link will be kind of obvious, I hope. Throughout a lot of these comparisons and points we bring up, I just keep thinking about the image, the man, the icon that is like, that is Andrew Tate. Whether you agree or disagree with him is not the point. The point is that here's a person who who demonstrates really just what was possible. I mean, let's just say that, what is possible. And so if you look at that and you go, I can never be that, I can never do that, or that's too hard to put that work in, whatever. Yeah, I do believe that most of us seek the path of least resistance, and it has to be a form of, you have to train yourself. You got to want it. You got to see some kind of connection to go harder and to get more out of it. But yeah, you know, why not? Why not stay juvenile state? I mean, I'm just looking at, I'm sure there's a biochemical thing here, but just looking at it from a motivational standpoint, why not stay juvenile? Oh, you know, like you said, boobs and butt. I can just go click it on. These people can have conversation. These people can be fun to kind of dance and seduce. No, just why aren't you in the outfit yet? Why aren't you in your back yet? And the patience has got to be killed completely.
Sure.
It's almost like becoming the man. You know, are you the guy running the webcam and actually having relationships with these women? Or are you the kid who's sitting there on the other side of the screen talking to pixels?
Oh, dude, it's hilarious. I had a conversation when I met him in Atlanta. I had a conversation with him about like that and the people who pay to do it. And, you know, because he can see what everyone's saying and doing. And it's just like that. Are you the guy who, a lot of guys with wives, you know, who are paying these webcams and these things? And, and then they don't want to do the work. They don't want to. It's like we think once we get a girl or something, that it should be easy selling. And the reality is, it's just a different game. It never stops. It never gets easy. And that's like the burden of being a man. We talk about that all the time. The burden of masculinity, and there is no easy moment. Once you fall off and take those easy traps, like porn, for example, that's the other thing too, and I hope we get to that. It is not easy to get off of. It's not easy because unlike crack, unlike alcohol, whatever, the destruction isn't immediately visible. You know, you don't go, oh goodness, I jerked off and I killed five people. Like it's also not
like the healing pattern isn't very quick, right? Like when you cut out alcohol, you feel like shit for a day or two, and then you get like it comes around pretty quickly, right? Yeah, you start feeling better within a week.
Or smoke or something.
Yeah.
It's a long time and it goes against our basic urge to reproduce, but it's forcing you. Every other addiction kind of, it's clear that this is destructive and there's a lot of things behind it, or a lot of negative externalities that ruin you. The porn, it's like, okay, what's so bad about it? Everyone else is doing it. It gets normalized and you're like, oh, you know, maybe I'm still getting laid every now and then, whatever. And then over time, it creeps up slowly and slowly. And before you know it, you don't even like women anymore. You like pictures of women. That's weird. Dude,
and then, well, then I've heard of girls like who find their husband watching gay porn. And it's like, why? Like, you're married. How'd you get there?
Like right.
What the fuck happened?
That started with a fuzzy picture in his fucking parents' basement, which kind of plays into... You know, and I always spend things to family. So going back to that, you know, and actually before I jump on this one, to your point, Ed, you know, there are a lot of drug dealers out there who don't do drugs. And that's another way to look at it. It's like, look, they're giving you, you're the consumer, they're the producer. You know, they're not going to get on that stuff because they know it's bad. You're not going to do that.
Look at Tate, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's just another way to angle it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, or not a lot of people, when it comes to families, you know, if the dad has his stash or the dad, you know, is living this way, I always say children will follow your example, not your advice. And to your point, when you're talking about, you know, how did you get to the point of watching gay porn? You know, well, how did your kid get into this lifestyle? Because either the dad got caught or the dad is watching something and the kid found it, or the dad had something and always takes a certain angle. And so the kid followed it. You know, fathers, they create the environment in which the child is going to thrive and go in that direction. And we're talking about, well, if you want to survive, that's taken care of. So your child is going to live. They know that. But is your child going to have a healthy sexual or a healthy relationship with their sexuality? And if you as a father don't have a healthy sexual relationship with your sexuality and you don't do that dance with the mother, you know, because you're both checked out, you know, you're numb as shit because of, you know, six times a day, you're just taking care of it. Any pleasure or desire or urge you have. And your wife is just like, well, I guess we don't have sex anymore. You know, that's our thing because you're comfortable with that.
Well, maybe she doesn't even know that that's why, right?
Maybe yeah, but then the kid follows it. The kid goes down that path. Yeah. You know, and it's a little fucked up. Ed, you were talking way earlier about, you know, it creeping into middle schoolers and things like that. Yeah. I use Reddit. I don't know. I'm going to get like banned because I said this. I use Reddit to, we don't have cable. So we stream all the NFL games from Reddit streaming services.
Whoa.
But I don't let the kids, when I turn it on, I'll put the Patriots on. I don't let the kids, they're not in the room when I'm doing that because some of the ads that pop up, it's not porn, but it's super suggestive. It's super like sexualized. And those things, you know, for kids who are unchecked and they're just on YouTube doing their thing, the ads that pop up is like cartoon characters with like cute, like just barely dressed.
Yeah.
It's worse than Street Fighter. You know, in Street Fighter, you had that one chick was always bouncing around. You're like, whoa, that's hot. It's worse than that.
You know, it's like fucking 8-bit. And like, there's like,
as a kid, you're like, wow, what is that? You know, but there are adults now who that was their fetish. You know, they saw this cartoon character. And guess what? You can make a cartoon character do anything you want them to do. And that goes down to a whole other thing. And now as a father doing this, your kid's going to follow that cycle, you know? So we have to look at this as what it is, and it's got to stop.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? That family thing is huge, man. I just – because I don't have kids, right? I just know family dynamic from being around and then growing up in one. And I'm sure the stakes are even higher when you have them. But to that point, if you have a rift – between the two leaders of the unit, the mother and the father, right? And you're supposed to be setting an example for how to relate to one another. You want to show your son how to be a man and how to treat women, and your daughter how to be a woman and how to treat men. And there is this fucking porno that is just splitting the relationship and affecting the intimacy that you can have with your wife or your girl day in, day out. That, yeah, of course, that estrangement is going to trickle down. Before we, let's say the kid never sees a video and you never get caught somehow, but still the energy that you have towards your woman is going to be divided. Your energy is not infinite. We work on that premise, right? I'm talking as if I'm debating, but if we work on that premise that your energy is not infinite, you have a finite amount. When you split that off to a porno image, right, then you're taking that energy that could be put towards your woman and building a better foundation for you, your family, and the whole unit. And eventually, you're just not going to have a lot of it. As we get older, it runs down. I'm convinced that using it in pornography, for example, for whatever, it changes your brain in such a way that you can't even give as much, at least not initially. You know, you got to reboot and jump off all that, but you can't even give as much to the women in your life. It'd be like if you decided to have a relationship and you were running an affair. Well, your energy's got to be split. It's finite, man. You ain't got enough of it. And eventually it's going to, you know, something will be off. There's no way to keep it 100 the whole way.
I want to add to that, like with the affair portion of it. My parents got divorced when I was in fifth grade, and it was because my mom caught my dad cheating. And because of that, like, I have one memory, I think, maybe two, of my parents being like loving towards each other when I was little, right? And then once I found out that that's why they got divorced, like that kind of soured that memory anyway. So I never had a good example growing up of like what a loving family is, right? And I didn't even have my uncles and aunts and everything. Everyone in my whole family had gotten divorced. And it's that same thing you were saying, where like if you don't have, as a kid, if you don't have that good example, whether that be because of porn or an affair or whatever, you're going to grow up and not know what the hell to do. You're not going to know how to have a good relationship. You're not going to know how to have that dance.
Now I want to start kind of shifting the topic or the angle we're taking. And so the men have heard this, they've heard the stories, they've heard our examples and things given. So what does right look like? What does the path forward to getting off? Both of you wrote about, you know, how to quit. And I wrote more about the impact it has on your development as men. So I'm looking forward to hearing your two angles on, all right, I'm with you guys, but I've been doing this for a decade, 10 years straight. You know, I started when I was 15, now I'm a 25-year-old going into the world. how do I stop? And there's, I guarantee you, there's 40-plus-year-old men on here who've been doing this for two decades or more. So
when you
do something that long, you know, like smoking cigarettes or something else, you know, and again, smoking cigarettes is easier because you can throw that away. I've got my phone. They've had their phone. At any point, that pack of cigarettes is right there with you. So how do we get men off of this? And then I have my first step, but I want to hear from you guys.
Ed?
Okay. So I like to employ as many things as possible to help me achieve a goal, right? And it's like when I got sober, I wasn't sure if AA was for me, but I was like, you know what? Let's go to AA. I told all my friends what was going on, everything. I got everyone involved. I didn't make it a secret. I wrote about it all. I used every device I could to give me an advantage. And then once I started feeling more confident in the position I had, I started pulling some of them back. And I think we take a similar approach to that for those first steps. One, you gotta want to quit, right? Not just because we're telling you, but you gotta go, okay, this is bad and for me, or I'm not getting the benefit, whatever. You gotta want to stop. If you don't want to stop, and you're just thinking about it, no, you gotta have that feeling that you gotta get off. Once you have that, put the blockers in on your computer. There's tons of stuff out there. Put those blockers in, put them in. And with doing that automatically, you want to put up barriers. It's like, right, if someone wants to break into your house, they're going to break into it anyway. But if you have a security system and a dog barking, they're going to think twice. Yeah, that's it. And if they really want to get in, they're going to get in. But we're putting up deterrents. So the first deterrent, those blocking software, get that on your computer. Because let's be real here. No one is jerking off fucking magazines anymore. That's not happening. And you probably don't have VHS tapes or DVDs. It's all on the internet and it's all free. So put those blockers up. That's step one. Step two is you got to open yourself up. And what I mean by that is your computer can no longer, you cannot have a computer in any private place. You can't have it in a den. You can't have it in your own little work study. No, use the computer in a public place, man, because what you have to do is, look, it's going to be uncomfortable at first, like any addiction you wean yourself off of. But what you got to do is you got to suffer through that period and not relapse. And the longer you suffer through it, the easier it'll be. I mean, I'm sure probably around day 30, 31, it gets easier. But until then, it'll be a little harder. I don't have the exact numbers on that. But what I do know is that you have to persist. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to make it very difficult to do. You got to make it super difficult. When you make it super difficult and you start weaning yourself back, yeah, eventually you're going to lose a little desire. As you do that, you're going to find yourself, frustrated is probably the best thing I got. So take that energy and you got to find something else to do instead. You can't just cut the porn off, man. It's a habit. Your brain has got literal grooves in it for like porn, right? To make it easier. You've been doing it repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. So now, like I was telling some guys, I said, look, dude, whenever you get the urge, drop down and do some push-ups, right? I mean, that's just like something simple. And every time you do that, you get exhausted, and then you do something else. Look, at the very least, at the end of it, you're going to be freaking jacked, man. But then you start taking other things. Go for a walk. Talk to somebody. Go bang your wife, man. Do our girl. You do whatever you got to do that is not replacing it with a more destructive habit. You know, I don't need you wanted to go smoke a bowl or whatever, because I've seen that. Guys try and quit one thing, and they fill it with something bad. Like, no. Something constructive. Preferably physical, that's going to get you out, get you away from the computer, because a lot of it is trigger. You sit down at the computer. I remember when I was first getting up, I was like, okay, not really interested, but I'm at the computer. I feel like I should do something. It's very Pavlovian. I think I wrote about this in my article. So if you make it hard by putting the blockers in, you cannot usually, you're just not allowed. I mean, I would say never again for real, because we don't know. But like, you're just not allowed to use your computer privately anymore, right? It's always got to be around people, and make sure you have some type of habit to get you out in the world when you have the urge. If you do those three things, I think you're going to give yourself a very powerful foundation to sit on. Because at the end of the day, for the habit to stick, it just takes time. And the longer you can go without doing it, the easier it's going to be to continue doing it. And there's stuff we can add on to it, but those are my three things that I would give to start.
Nick, what about you?
I liked what you said about habits. So that was a big one for me when I realized that I read this book called The Power of Habit. And Hunter, I know you've read
it. Oh, yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah.
Chuck, some weird last name.
I forget. Yeah. Hunter, I know you've read Atomic Habits, and it's probably the same kinds of concepts. Where it goes into detail about how you can't actually ever get rid of a habit. Once that habit's in, even if you get Alzheimer's, dementia, all of that, those habits stick around. Like, it's your brain's wired to that. And so if you try to destroy the habit, you're going to have a really fucking hard time. So you replace it with a better habit. And I like the push-ups idea, but I think that gives – it never worked for me. I tried doing things like that, and that never worked for me. And what worked for me was actually deciding to create the habit of turning the porn off. So instead of like trying to distract myself or to put up those blockers, which no doubt in my mind, they work for a lot of people. What worked for me was A, learning that I'm going to fuck up and I'm going to relapse and that's okay. And I have to be like, I can't get mad at myself, because when I got mad at myself about it, it would like destroy all the progress. I just get frustrated and down on myself. And then I decided that instead of like just carrying on with it, where it was like, ah, fuck, I'm already here. There's already a fucking video. I'm just going to go with it. Be like, as soon as I have a moment of clarity, I would turn it off. I was like, it doesn't matter when that is, whether that's as soon as I like created a private window or as soon as I pulled my phone out of my pocket or halfway through or whatever it was, as soon as I had the moment of clarity, I forced myself. That was the one thing. As soon as I have that clarity, I'm done. I have to be. That was like the one rule I set for myself. And eventually, and it actually worked incredibly fast and incredibly well, where it was like every time I turned on the porn, it was another opportunity to instill that habit. And so that totally changed my mindset about it, where it was like, I'd be halfway through, I'd be like, oh shit, turn it off. And I turn it off and I'd just sit there and be like, cool, that's like another opportunity to learn more or to instill this new habit. And eventually it got to the point where like, sometimes I would click on private browser. As soon as it pop up, I'd click the X and just keep moving forward my day. And it fucking killed it so fast. I actually did the same thing with chewing my nails. And it helped just as well. Like, as soon as I realized I was doing this, I just pulled my hand away and I killed it.
I really like that. But I got just a question, because I think the path to a recovery or where it starts may differ depending on your situation. I was approaching it assuming you had other people in your home, perhaps a wife or some kids or some roommates, whatever. I'm not 100% sure. Do you have roommates, Nick?
Yeah, I have since I moved out of my parents' house.
But you have your own room. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So effectively, you could disappear if you wanted to and be isolated. So I think a combination of those approaches, if you're not quite, because I think I'm like somewhere in the middle technically. I mean, not quite Hunter, not quite Nick, but that approach is going to be really good, because one of the challenges, man, is when you live alone, and you know that's a hard one. That is very hard, and I think you got to want to stop. If you do want to stop, I think Nick's method is going to work extremely well for you if you are a solo liver or effectively living solo.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with both of the approaches you guys take, and I don't want to beat the dead horse, so I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle, and that is identify why porn. Why are you going to it? Why are you choosing that as your outlet? You know, what is it? And for some, there's pain. You know, there's just something that hurts and they don't want to deal with it. So like, all right, this makes me feel good, so I don't have to worry about, you know, dad beating me when I was a kid. Or this makes me feel good, so I don't have to worry about, you know, Lucy Liu, you know, who fucking broke up with me. You know, like whatever it is, you know, there's a pain and that has to be confronted. You know, whatever's driving you to go to porn in the first place. So yes, it's a habit. I understand, like the chat has blown up with the dopamine. I 100% get it. I understand how, you know, that reward works in the brain and that keeps you hooked. We all know that. Let's shelve that for a second. What is it that is causing you to hurt? Let's find that and start facing those things you've gone through. And, you know, when you're dealing with those past issues, when you're starting to get over those things that were done to you or against you, you know, maybe that will help in the process of adding on to what Ed and Nick are talking about. So you're taking those steps, but you're also dealing with the shit that's like really fucked up in your life that has you having this weird relationship with your sexuality.
So maybe that's how you start, right? Like, that's the initial break where like, cause all of this shit, everything I talked about, everything Ed talked about, all of this only applies if you actually want to quit. So many people, it's like the mark of an addiction. Like so many people don't think they're addicted to alcohol. Don't think that they're like, I say addicted to marijuana. I don't know if you actually can be, but like mentally, like they need it, right? Or like whatever the fuck it is, when you're addicted to something more than half the time, I would say you don't even know you are. Mm-hmm. Convincing an alcoholic they're an alcoholic is not an easy task. And it's the same thing with anything else. Like if you don't want to quit, you're fucking not gonna. And I think what you were talking about, Hunter, is a really good way to like start realizing that maybe you do have a problem. You start looking at that, like that underlying cause where it's like, I watch porn because I couldn't get laid throughout my entire teenage years and I just gave up.
Well, and that's actually brings up a really good point that I hadn't even considered, but a lot of the guys, when I talk to them, like, all right, like what's the deal? You know, they don't know how to get women, so that they don't understand like how to have sex. They just don't know how. So they just started using porn. The other ones, they have a small dick and they're just ashamed. Like they're just embarrassed to go be with a woman. You know, and it's weird. It's like these weird subjects. I never ever thought when I was writing I'd be talking about dudes' dicks.
Yeah.
but here we are, you know, like somehow we got here. So they're ashamed. Like, you know, God didn't endow them very well. So but they're ashamed. So like, I don't want to, you know, be embarrassed by this girl. So I'll do everything but have sex. And I'm not gonna let her touch me there, but we'll make out, we'll do this, and then I'll go home and I'll take care of the urge that builds.
That anxiety makes it even worse, right? Because like then you can't, like you can't, it's the whole ED thing, right? Where you get anxious and so you either can't get it up or you finish so fast, right? And so like you get anxious about your dick size and then that happens and it's like this whole spiral.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy you guys cut me off because I was about to say one thing and then I listened a little more and I was like, okay, I can see that. And then I changed my stance real time because initially I was about to disagree that it came from a source of pain. And then I thought about it a little more and I was like, well, it's not like, you know, somebody was whooping your ass. So you went home and jerked out to feel better. And now you're stuck. Right. It really can come down to anything. With that said, I think that the porn is very unique because of the day and age and the technology and how easy it is to get your fix, right? You know, there's no, you don't have to pay the dealer. Like at some point, if you can't come up with crack money, you got to find something else, man. Like that's kind of it. But porn, not so much. And so I think a lot of guys, like you said, right, there's the whole she dumped me and a girl's can't reject me. That's painful. This is easy. Or I feel some kind of self-worth. I can relax instead of being nervous. This is easy. Let me focus on that. It really, instead of building worth, you get the feelings of worth for a little moment. And I think confronting, like, why you aren't getting what you want out of life, or at least out of women, is, and I think that's a really powerful. Another thing I was going to add on to my plan for quitting, right, is, you know, get a woman in your life if you don't have one, because that is going to make it a lot easier for you to go, okay, here's a real human, here's a digital thing, let me deal with this human for a little while, and it continues to build some kind of competence and confidence that will allow you to go, you know, if things don't work out with the girl, maybe you can meet another one, but at least you know you can do it, as opposed to always, you know, dropping back to Mr. X videos.
You know, something too, that because this is the internet, we need to say the disclaimer, if you will, not all men have the same response to porn. Some people just, they're like, hey, you know, once a week or something, or it's been a while, they're on a business trip, they'll hop on, get something, rub it out, go about their day. Yeah. They're good. It's just like alcohol. And you brought this up, Ed. I have a shitty relationship with alcohol. It's not alcohol itself, it's me and my relationship. You know, porn itself, while I do think is destructive for everybody, you know, it's, I've seen too many men have this problem for us to say it's not a problem, you know?
Yeah. It's like
disclaimer.
When I was doing research for my book about drinking, I actually left a chapter out that I did a lot of research on, and it was about pretty much how everyone has an issue, or rather, more people have an issue with alcohol than we like to think. And not only that, but then we can look at how the media kind of reinforces it. And not just the media, but the school institutions and everyone is kind of going, okay, drink, but let's not attribute any of the problems to it. We'll blame it on something else. Instead of going, alcohol was involved in 90% of the assault cases, let's focus on teaching guys to be respectful and re-accused when they've been drinking. That sort of thing. And it really bugged me, but I left it out because I didn't want people to miss the point of my book. The same problem is here with porn, 100%, man. Like not every person is rubbing it out five times a day and has got nothing better to do. Not every person has got a big issue. Not every guy is even in a situation where it could be considered an issue. But the guys that do have a problem, the guys whose wives are writing, the guys who know, okay, I had this hot girl, but I spent all this time dealing with all this porn, and it's embarrassing for me to admit it or talk about this because no one would expect me to have a porn issue. I'm the man, right? Those are the guys that we're talking to. If I really wanted to, given my experiences and my angles and what I know, we could create a whole hour, 2 hours on the evils of porn, right? Or the evils of booze, whatever. But that's not constructive. That's not helpful. What is helpful is to kind of talk to the guys who maybe think they have an issue or know they have an issue and discuss why you have that issue and how you can get over it. Look, if we pick up some people and then cast a wide net, if we pick up some stragglers that are like, I never thought of it that way, right? But that's not really, this the day and age of the internet, you kind of got to say that. Like you said, you gotta tell people, we're not telling you you're going to go to hell and then an angel dies every time you rub one out. That's not what we're saying.
It was Ryan Stone that brought that to my attention. He would finish things with like, don't eat lead paint, because people would always bring up the one exception to his point. And he's like, look, all right, don't do this. Obviously I'm not saying, this extreme, I'm talking to the general men. And I think to your point, that's, we're talking about solutions here. We're talking about ways you can get off it. And if it's not a problem to you, if I were to take it from you right now, would you have an issue? I think, in the chat, somebody had asked, what would be the outcomes and actually I'll share in the screen. What would be the outcomes and behaviors that would make you consider porn being an addiction? And to me, the way I interpreted that was, how do you know if you're addicted to porn?
Yeah.
Well, here's a great one. If I take it away, do you feel anything? If I get rid of your porn and say you can't watch porn for 6 months, you're like, okay, like you don't care. Good. You're not addicted. A lot of people would be like, man, I can't go a day. I can't, a week without it. That would be like the first week in my life, and going back to drugs or alcohol. There's a lot of people who like, I've not gone a week straight without alcohol. Like, well, you probably have a problem.
Right.
If you take away the coffee and you're freaking out, you've got a problem.
Nick, right. I freak the fuck out. Oh my God.
another real key way to tell if you're addicted, back to this wonderful conversation we were having, another key way is how is it affecting your quality of life?
Yeah.
Are you losing relationships? Are your relationships being strained because of your porn use? If the answer is yes, even slightly, you got to understand it ain't going to magically get better. Right. I just think by the nature of the beast that it has to get bad before people realize how bad it is.
And then on top of that, Ed, like your rock bottom might not be someone else's rock bottom. Like
Absolutely. Both
of you realized you were alcoholics before you actually like caused problems, right? Hunter, I know you did. You too, Ed, right?
Dude, I was on a crash course. I don't know how I made it this far.
Mostly, right. That's pretty much, on a slight side note, and I guess this is kind of relevant. A lot of times when I talk about my drinking, especially we'll say from ages like 23 to 27, I say pure and simple, in an alternate reality, Ed Lattimore serving 10 to 15, man, like the coin just landed differently and yeah. But it landed enough to where I'm sitting here right now in Portugal helping guys, other things. So right. To answer your question, Yeah, I mean, there were no major problems caused. In other words, you know, I was able to get control of it before reality forced me to.
Exactly, people, before life called you bluff.
Man, that's a much more poetic way to discuss the law of, I always say the law of large numbers is going to catch up to you eventually. But that's a pretty, another way, man, life is going to eventually call you bluff. And if you don't get it together, eventually it will. And here's the thing that happens, right? People respect you. This is what I learned. People respect you when you come out and you say, I got an issue and I'm going to get that under control. People do not respect you when you cause a big problem and then you go, I had an issue, and get it under control. No. If you stop it, it'd be like I said in my book, if I had killed somebody in getting a DUI, no one would have any sympathy, right? And they'd have sympathy for the family, not for me.
Right.
They wouldn't care, whatever. But because I stopped before we got to that point, and then I'm taking that energy out, but the people, everyone is, they have a much different response. And I think it's the same way with your porn use. And that's another thing guys need to hear. And then this, I 100%, you know, I would like to think this is true. Obviously, there are no guarantees. If you are in a relationship and you are high and heavy porn use from your girl, and you want some help getting clean with that, just straight up be like, look, man, I got an issue to your tour. I mean, and see how it goes. Maybe or talk to your boys, if not to her first. Talk to somebody. Like get it out there and get it out there to somebody because when you start talking about it, then now it's a thing that you can deal with. Like it exists in the world. Someone else knows about it, and it's not just this internal kind of battle going on where there's nothing really to aim at. You know, once you put it out there in the world, and someone goes, "Dude, okay, what are we gonna do about this? How are we gonna move past this? What are you doing?" Like where they hold you accountable, as well as helping you out. But until you can do that, you know, and I think that's what's great about things like what Hunter does, and my DMs are always open about stuff like this as well, is that someone is going to talk to you, man. Like there are enough resources to where if you reach out and just talking to another person, another guy preferably, who is going to make all the difference in the world because they can put some accountability, some kind of fire to your ass. They can, you know, we can start making moves prior because you're not going to feel so bad relapsing, all that kind of stuff.
For those, I'm just going to real quick plug for those that are watching this, you know, as with everything I create, everything all of us create, if action is not taken from the knowledge, nothing will change. So don't suffer in silence, you know, do like that. That wasn't a toss out there, not intending to actually be applied. You know, what Ed just said about reaching out, reach out. Just saying the thing and finding out you're not alone and somebody gives a shit that you exist and wants to be there and help you, you know, along that process will help you at least have some form of accountability, which will at least put the odds a little bit more, if, even just a tiny bit, that a stranger online is going to be holding you accountable. You know, maybe that's all you need. You never know until you do it. But please, for the love of whatever you hold dear, reach out. There's no need to struggle in silence.
Yep.
Let me tell you something too, man. Like we want to talk about stacking the things, and I was talking about stacking every advantage. I love it because it just goes to show because so much time has passed and I kept with it, but I still get the reminder every month on the 23rd from Tom Hop. I will put 1 month sober, 2 months sober, 3 months, etc. Right? People will hold you to that, and then eventually people start reaching out, people start congratulating you, that kind of stuff. Even seeing those little things, man, it's really amazing with the internet, because we obviously there's a lot of mean, weird people on the internet, but if you just reach out and be like, look, man, 1 month without porn, somebody's gonna clown you, right? 2 months without porn, fewer people are gonna clown you. By the time you go 1 year without porn, guys are going to be reaching out. You're going to be that guy now. And now here's what happened, right? Look, I'm not going to lie. And this is how an addiction works, right? I mean, you know, I'm walking through places and I see bottles of wine all the time. And I go, man, I loved wine. I got it under control. Maybe I can have a drink. But then I think about, man, I got a book now. These people look up to me. People have
seen. Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm like, I can't go. I can't have a drink now. You know, I got it tatted on my arm, you know, 5 years. So I can't have a drink now. It wouldn't mean anything because I put all these things in my favor. And I think guys can do that. You know, I'm not look, if you got, I don't know, man. Some of y'all ain't got the balls to do it. But if you do, if you want to take that risk and put yourself out there, I think that's a great way to gain accountability once people know. And then after a while, you put yourself in a position to be the helper.
Yeah, I agree. I even thought about that the other night. It was like, shit, like I can't watch porn now. I put out an article. I'm about to sit down and talk to Ed Notter about it. Like,
you start thinking of all the dudes watching you. You're like, oh, man, hands off the screen, the keyboard.
Like, it doesn't even matter what happens anymore. I can't. Like, it's – and that's cool, right? It's like it's not like it was a problem, but it's just now there's that added layer of just like even if I was like – man – I like, even if I was drunk and like had talked to this girl all night and wound up going home alone and I was drunk and lonely and horny, like I can't, there's no,
right. Now no you're, situation. Now you're that guy because look, man, maybe you get away with it once or twice. Right.
Yeah.
But let's pretend Hunter, that you go and you watch some porn and your girl catch you. She ain't going to say shit while things are good. Let y'all start having an argument.
Fucking like, 5 months later.
Like, y'all know
I didn't fix the sink because you're over there watching porn.
What? You fucking sick bastard. There are kids in this fucking house. Yeah.
And then you're going to, and then you know, it's going to, the telephone game and the internet. And then 1 month later, CYF is going to be calling. Well, I hear you watch child. Whoa. Nobody get there.
I also think you'll build some self-respect too. You know, when you're drunk, you're horny, you're alone, and you choose not to, that's like a plus one in the column of like, at least I give a shit about me. You know, you're alone. Nobody will find out, but you knew and you did the right thing.
Dude,
and,
exactly.
Hey, here's your fucking sticker. Good job, man.
And that's the whole point of all of this, right? Like the whole point, I think, of everything with beating the addictions, with cutting out the bullshit, with adding better things, you're just developing more and more self-respect. And the more self-respect you have that's grounded in reality, the better off your life is going to be. You can go and do affirmations all the time, right? Like you can go and sit in front of your mirror every hour, right? Well, for an hour every morning and tell yourself you're a badass. But like you can tell yourself like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be rich. Like I'm going to be a badass. But then if you go and play video games and watch porn for the next 8 hours, you're probably not going to be a badass. It's like, but those affirmations, like they work.
They felt
also
good.
Doing the work.
Yeah.
You gotta be doing the fucking work. And every time you get into one of those weird situations, like Hunter, like when you're drunk, horny, and alone, and you don't watch porn, that's one, like you said, one more plus one. That's like one more, that's one more barrier that you crossed that someone else wouldn't, you know? And like every obstacle you get over is just another, whether it's porn addiction or something else, like every obstacle you cross is another obstacle that someone else wouldn't have crossed, right? So like I was talking about this last night with the business, like when I started Ground Shark Coffee, it's like everything that goes wrong, every time I lose money, every weird decision that I have to make that goes wrong, every marketing tactic that doesn't work, every time I get through that, that's one more time someone else wouldn't have. And it just makes the business, it makes me stronger, and it, in that sense, it weeds out the competition. In the porn sense, that's not really the point, but it's the same thing. It's like every time you get through another hard thing, the deeper that goes and the more it becomes a part of you. And it only matters when you get tested.
So we've covered a lot. Is there anything you wanted to bring up that we didn't? And I also threw into the chat that if anybody has any questions for us, to throw it out there. But I'm trying to think of anything we might have scanned over or hopped over.
I do want to leave with one thing. Is that this, you know, no one's gonna make you want it. And by want it, I mean a better life, a life of fulfillment, a life of maybe beautiful women, a life or whatever, right? It's like anything, you know, no one says life is, society is so easy. Look, at the end of the day, you can listen to everything we say and then go back and be like, well, you know what? This porn thing is still a lot easier than getting rejected. And I can't do nothing for that guy. But what I will tell you is that it may not feel this way. Because difficulty does not feel enjoyable almost by definition. it may not feel like it's going to make your life better, but the other side is so much, you know, that there's a kind of burden of responsibility and discipline that really is the centerpiece of contentment. Like no matter what you get, humans do not do well, in my opinion. I don't think we do well with quick instant gratification. I think that's why we strive to build things, and the people who do so change society and change their lives. What's this got to do with porn? Porn is always going to be there. It's not going away. At least no time in most developed nations are they going to make it illegal. If you really want that outlet's always going to be there for you. If you want something better, just like a job, you know, if you want the freedom to go wherever you want and have some location independent income or whatever, you can go do it. You ain't got to. Life ain't going to be hard. You ain't going to starve. You go do whatever you want to do. But if you want more, I guarantee you life is going to be better for you. But we can't make you want it. If you want it, though, the resources are there. The people are there. But no one's going to clown you. At least no one on this panel will. And certainly no one that's went through it and is trying to get you off it. Our guys, I'll tell you why I'm laughing in a minute. Our guys who have made something of their life. So there's that. I'm laughing because I'm sitting here and I have this balcony, and the pigeons always they can't tell that there's a glass here. So they fly into the thing and they're gonna fly into my house and they just go smack and fall in it. Oh, and it just happened right now.
It's a good omen, right?
Yeah.
No, to your point, and you know, we haven't got any questions, so we're gonna start wrapping this one up. To your point, and I'm talking to you, the viewer, your porn addiction does not impact my life whatsoever. I'm not doing this because you're hurting me. I'm doing this because the rope is being thrown to you. So grab it and climb. You know, all of us will go about our business and continue to do our thing. But I guarantee you, if you just mathematically, the time you will save, sneak it off to the corner, could be put to some, just, I'm doing simple math here. You save hours, you save time in your life. And that is a finite resource. So save your time, put it towards something better, you know, do something else. Just figure something out. If it's a struggle, you know, it's a struggle, you know, reach out, do your thing. Again, I'm going to continue to go forward. And I promise you, if I put porn into my life, it would not be a net positive in any way, sort of fashion. So you have to take the action, apply it, fix your life. You know, listen to this conversation was cool, but you're not in the club, you know, unless you're off the porn. So join the no porn club.
Get to join the secret club.
All right, Nick, do you want to leave a final point as well as letting people know where they could find you?
Yeah. I just want to say, like, don't let your rock bottom be rock bottom. Like, don't let your rock bottom be a divorce. Don't let it be awful. Like, don't let it be a significant life-changing rock bottom. Let it be right now, right? Like, let your rock bottom be one moment of clarity before things get awful. Make the decision before life makes it for you. And you can find me at Nick Lowry on Twitter, at Ground Shark CC on Twitter. It's a coffee company.
Oh, shit. You're the Ground Shark coffee guy. Okay.
God damn it, Ed.
You know when he was talking about in the back of his head trying to figure out like how he knows the guy? That just happened.
Right. There it is. We're here now. You
no
motherfucker.
Kidding. Oh, cool, man. Yeah, you're younger than I thought you'd be. Oh, okay. That's about it.
I appreciate that, Nick Lowry. At Nick Lowry, at Ground Shark CC, at Ground Shark Coffee Co. on Instagram, and at Nick.Lowry or Nick Lowry 39 on Instagram or something like that, because some little kid has Nick Lowry. So,
Ed, where can people find more if they do want to hit up the DMs?
Hey, look, man, I've kept it real simple. I'm edlattimore.com, Ed Lattimore on Instagram, Ed Lattimore on Twitter. That name right there, just link it together, no spaces for all those. And, yeah, you know, send me a message. I try to answer everything. I if I was an a-hole, I'd charge, but I'm not. And as a result, I use a lot of my time because I really feel grateful, man, that I'm in a position that people care to listen and I can deliver some of value to you all. So if any guy out there struggling, man, I had guys reach out to me about booze, man, and I guess now I'm the porn guy as well. So feel free to reach out about anything, and I guarantee you, man, we'll talk and chop it up, and I'll do my best to kind of help you out.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, guys. I know the subject is a little weird to discuss, but those who need to hear this, they need to hear this. And there's not a lot of people talking about it. So I appreciate you coming on. You know, now your names are forever linked with porn.
Yeah.
Good. Dude, there's that.
Good. If it wasn't for, if you Google how to quit porn, man, I'm the number one. Number one. So, yeah. So now between that and this, it'll just keep this train going.
That's fantastic. All right. Everybody who tuned in, you know, make sure you hit the like on the way out. Appreciate you supporting what it is I'm doing in this this discussion and the mission that we're pushing here to help men. So you're a part of it. Take some action. Change your life. Thanks for tuning in. And until Friday, where I go back to Sanction on our campaign to go chapter by chapter through that monster of a book. It's incredible. So, hey, tune in Friday. We're going to talk about it. The author himself will break down, you know, his message.